The Russian soldiers were thirsty for revenge. British sources say they most were drunk as well. The battle turned into a slaughter. Many of the Teke who had not yet taken to the desert were slashed to pieces, from the elderly to tiny infants. The Russians raped, looted, and massacred the inhabitants of Yoktepe. The next day, General Skobelev ordered all the remaining women of Yoktepe, about 15,000 in all, to surrender their gold and silver jewelry as a war contribution. Each Teke woman, no matter how poor her family, is expected to get married wearing a load of jewelry so heavy that she cannot stand up unassisted under its weight. Skobelev told the surviving women that he would turn them over to the soldiers to do what they pleased if the jewelry was not delivered. Soon, two large carpets were piled with gold and silver more than 6 feet high. At the end of 3 days, some 6,500 Teke fighters lay dead in Yoktepe Fortress. Another 8,000 warriors and civilians were massacred in the plains around Yoktepe. Russian casualties, which the victors probably underestimated, were put at 268 killed and 669 wounded. The Russians succeeded so remarkably well in their eastward expansion into Central Asia, largely because they faced one weak tribal society after another, loosely organized nomadic confederations with no set boundaries or national consciousness. Usually, these local tribes were no match for Russia's modern military force. Even when they outnumbered by the Russians by 10-1 up to 100-1. But Russian negotiators often avoided conflict altogether by simply agreeing to ennoble local ruling elites, and in this way won through assimilation rather than military might. Why is this history of the Great Game so important? At the dawn of the 20th century, the Great Game became synonymous with the struggle between powerful nations for influence and domination of world markets. So that much of the 20th century would be understood by modern spy agencies through the lens of the Great Game. Much later, for instance, a special unit devoted to the struggle against banditry inside the Soviet KGB saw counterinsurgency operations against armed guerrillas in precisely this way. Special textbooks were developed by KGB scholars who gleaned materials from Russian imperial and Soviet state archives. Standard texts for the course included extraordinary collections of documents on selected case studies from the Great Game: the uprising in Central Asia, 1916, the civil war in Bukhara, 1910, the history of the Chechen resistance, 1830 to 1940. When the Soviets invaded Afghanistan under Brezhnev in 1979, hundreds of files from these collections were transferred from historical archives of the Stalin era into active files inside the KGB, the Committee of State Security, responsible for covert guerrilla operations in Afghanistan. Memory of the Great Game became the institutional lens through which Russian and Soviet intelligence of the 20th century perceived their operations, targeting Muslim fundamentalist guerrillas in South Asia.
This ends Lecture 14. If you enjoyed this program, the Modern Scholars series from Recorded Books offers courses in a variety of subject areas taught by some of the world's greatest professors. Call 1-800-636-3399 or visit the course's webpage for a free catalog. This course, produced by Ian McCulloch, directed and edited by Stephen Bartolome and Mark Avila, is copyrighted 2011 by Recorded Books, LLC. The lecture text is copyrighted 2011 by Jeffrey Birds.